California's healthcare industry is lobbying Governor Newsom to sign an order that would protect doctors, hospitals, nursing homes, and senior care living facilities from lawsuits. The LA Times reports governors across the U.S. have signed similar orders and that Newsom likely will sign some sort of liability protection for the healthcare industry. But families whose loved ones have died from COVID-19 in nursing homes and advocates for nursing home reforms are opposed to that sort of immunity. Joining us to talk about the issue and whether there should be such liability protection is Maura Dolan, a legal affairs writer for the Los Angeles Times. She wrote the story that I just quoted from. Maura, good to have you with us again on Air Talk.
Good to be here. Thank you.
With the other states that have done this, has this kind of liability protection varied in how far it goes, or do they seem to be largely cookie cutters of each other?
They're similar, but they're one that the industry is advocating for. California, I am told, is much broader. And in the states that where these orders were issued, they were most of these states were very hard hit by the pandemic. And I was told that these other states do not have caps for medical malpractice damages as California does.
All right.
It makes a difference in how much you can get, obviously, in a lawsuit.
Sure. And I assume the concern that the industry is expressing is that if they're hit with a slew of COVID-19 lawsuits, that, for some of them, it puts them out of business. If you're talking about nursing homes, or the liability for hospitals and doctors puts them in the hole.
Yeah, their argument was it would slow them down in responding to this emergency because they would have to second guess everything they did. And they're saying that the state wants nursing homes to accept COVID patients from the hospitals to free up room in the hospitals. But if they can be sued for this because this incoming patient spread it to other people, they'll have difficulty doing that in the future.
And has Newsom telegraphed in any way what he's apt to do?
You know, I'm only hearing from second sources. People who have talked to the administration, because his office didn't respond to our requests for comment on this. But I've been told, these other people have been told, that he's going to issue something. But those who oppose it seem relieved that he didn't issue it immediately, and they suspect that his staff is working on it to perhaps narrow it from what the industry wanted.
All right. We're talking with Maura Dolan, Los Angeles Times legal affairs writer, who's written about this effort of health facilities to be granted immunity, including nursing homes. We reached out, by the way, to multiple organizations who are engaging in this lobbying effort, including the California Assisted Living Association, California Association for Health Facilities, California Medical Association. We also requested representative of the California Hospital Association and Leading Edge, an advocacy organization, but we were not hearing back from them in time to include them in the conversation. Also with us is founder and managing partner of the largest healthcare specialty law firm in Los Angeles, Nelson Hardiman, Harry Nelson. He's the author of From Obamacare to Trump Care, Why You Should Care, and The United States of Opioids, A Prescription for Liberating a Nation in Pain. Mr. Nelson, thank you very much for being with us. I know that your firm consults a great deal with nursing homes. What are your thoughts about providing a blanket COVID-19 immunity to them?
Larry, first of all, good to be with you. The nursing home industry, our clients are very interested in protection. Everyone's very worried about what the prospective lawsuits from the plaintiff lawyers will be for the deaths, which as of yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported exceed 10,000 nationally. So the industry is terrified. The trade associations not only for nursing homes, but you mentioned not Leading Age, which is really addressing also assisted livings, and the California Medical Association physician groups are all trying to lobby to get protected. So the industry thinks that this is what they need to be protected. As a lawyer who, you know, addresses compliance issues and on the ground in these facilities, I'm not so sure that that's the right answer.
And so what's your concern about providing that kind of immunity? You think it just allows bad actors to continue?
Yeah, I think what we see over and over again is when we change the standards for liability, we incentivize different behaviors. So if we say that, for example, as I understand, and I haven't seen a full draft of the bill, but from what I understand, the bill is proposing to not allow the normal negligence standard to apply and to require some serious gross negligence or even worse, willful misconduct. What we see over and over again is when you do things like that, you lower the penalties for not being careful, for not being in compliance. And inevitably, when there aren't the right motivations and incentives in place, you don't see the kind of behavior that we need to motivate from facilities. So I'm in favor of addressing the practical financial issue, but really still keeping in place requirements that motivate these facilities to operate carefully and to protect life as much as possible.
So how would you protect the healthcare organizations from just serial lawsuits that put them under?
I think what we need to do is establish, to really come out clearly with what reasonableness means, meaning what does a reasonable facility do, and to make clear that if you are following CDC guidelines, if you are following state licensing guidelines, and if we call on the California Department of Public Health, which licenses these entities, to put out very clear standards of what's required, then facilities that follow those basically should be treated as behaving reasonably. And unfortunately, the tragedy of this crisis is that many nursing homes that are doing the right things are still having terrible numbers of contagion and death. But if you can go after and target the facilities that are not doing the right things. And I'm still seeing troubling behavior out there and getting stories of facilities that I frankly don't understand.
So what are some examples of poor practices you're hearing of?
So one of the things that concerns me is a local Los Angeles facility that for weeks now has been refusing to test residents, that basically has gotten requests from family members who are concerned about contagion, and from doctors, and I'm hearing directly from doctors that there are certain facilities are still refusing to test patients and refusing to test staff. And I sort of, to me, that's an ostrich approach. You know, that just doesn't work. And that's one issue. The other issue is a lack of transparency, you know, about what's going on in the facility. And I'm hearing lots of complaints that people just can't get straight answers of whether their loved ones, their parents, are in facilities where there are cases, and if so, how bad the problem is. And so I think those are two of the issues that are most concerning to me.
Are facilities that have COVID-19 patients in them required to notify family members of that? I'm speaking specifically of nursing homes.
There's no, you know, as of last weekend, the state passed a new requirement that they notify the state. But there's no legal requirement in place that they notify the families directly. And we're seeing a lot of foot dragging and facilities not moving quickly enough to give information to relatives. I mean, I am frankly hearing a lot of relatives who are calling facilities and feeling lucky if somebody even picks up the phone. And when they do, and by the way, I feel bad for these facilities because there's they're short-staffed. They have employees who are out sick. And they also have staff who are afraid to come into the buildings, but the people just can barely get an answer. And when they do get an answer, unfortunately, in too many cases, it's not a straight one about what's really going on.
When you're talking about refusal to test, are those people who are symptomatic, or do you mean routine testing just to determine whether members of the staff have been exposed or not?
No, I had a case where family members were complaining to a physician, a geriatric physician I work with, that there were some symptoms. It wasn't clear cut whether their relative was sick, but there were enough symptoms. There was respiratory breathing issues, and they wanted, before it was severe, they wanted testing, and they wanted to know about hospitalization. And the facility just has been pushing back firmly and saying, we are not testing our residents.
Under any circumstance. Okay. And is that, to your knowledge, because they're having a difficult time getting the test swabs, or is there more to it than that?
I honestly think there's a couple things going on. I think, number one, it may be that testing, there's some difficulty getting testing, although I don't think that's the real issue. I think they're afraid to test broadly because there have been a few facilities here in the local area that have both assisted living and skilled nursing that once they tested in areas where they knew they had one person contagious, they found many, many more, including many seniors who were infected, though not symptomatic, and spreading the potentially spreading the virus. And I think they're also afraid because if they get a positive test, they're concerned that they will have an obligation to hospitalize, and they'll be reducing their census. And one of the sad realities of this business, of all these healthcare facility businesses, is that you have to keep your census up, and so they don't want to have to be in a position where they either have to transfer a patient to a hospital, or more likely what's happening is these facilities are being emptied out because people are taking their parents home, and so the facilities aren't getting paid. So the economics of the facilities are driving facilities to want to keep residents on site so they get paid, and not have people pull their parents out and take them home to care for them.
We're talking with attorney Harry Nelson of Nelson Hardiman Law Firm in Los Angeles. He works with nursing homes and senior care facilities on compliance and risk management. Maura Dolan, Los Angeles Times legal affairs writer, also joining us. Harry, what about the economics of nursing homes, you know, setting aside what the, you know, census is, beds occupied at a particular facility. On the liability front, are you concerned that if the door is left open for liability, in other than truly gross negligence, that could put a number of these places out of business? And, you know, with the aging population, that's going to be a problem.
I think that's a legitimate concern. So I do think, by the way, even long before COVID-19, California has one of the most elder abuse, resident, anti-facility elder abuse laws in the country. So these facilities have already been under the gun whenever there's anything that goes wrong. And I think that the COVID-19 crisis is going to lead to a flood of cases. And there's going to be a feeding frenzy. And I absolutely think that there is legitimate concern here that process needs to be managed. And we have to do something to take care of this out of control legal challenge that we have of a system that encourages lots of lawsuits to be filed and forces out payments. I think it's a problem not only for the nursing homes themselves, but for the insurance companies that we could be talking about, you know, multi-billion-dollar losses here that could put a lot of people out of business.
Maura Dolan, LA Times. Where is the majority of the pushback against this immunity coming from?
From that nursing home reform coalition. They're the ones who lobbied for years to get these elder abuse laws on the books. They are against it, and the trial lawyers of California, the consumer lawyers, they are opposed to it as well. The trial lawyers say that existing law already has a lot of protection, both federal and state law, for medical workers during an emergency. And they said that every time there is an emergency, the medical industry comes out and seeks immunities, and that they had anticipated that they would do it this time. And actually, they sent the letter to the governor 3 days before the health industry asked for it. It's a very powerful lobby, the health industry, and it's every organization. I mean, so many organizations signed that letter.
Yeah, it's astounding. And so have the reform advocates talked about the issue of defensive medicine, or they just think that's a red herring, that's not going to be an issue?
They said that these nursing homes, and obviously not all of them, I'm sure there's some very good ones, but the vast majority are for profit. They pay their staff very, very little, so staff members are forced to work more than one job. So during a time of pandemic, they could be spreading the contagion, the infection, from one facility to another. And that they're many of them had really high rates of infections of other diseases prior to this. And I think we quoted an expert saying one of the things that they get cited for over and over again is not washing their hands.
All right. Maura, thank you so much. We appreciate your elaborating on the piece you wrote about this in the Los Angeles Times. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maura Dolan, LA Times legal affairs writer, and our thanks to attorney Harry Nelson, who specializes in healthcare law. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, I want to hear from you. What kinds of wildlife, birds, mammals, any kind of wildlife that is new for you to see in your neighborhood as a result of fewer cars on the road and just fewer people getting in the way of the wildlife. 866-893-KPECC. Back in 90 seconds on Air Talk.